This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are live. John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors weekly podcast, really bi-weekly during the playoff run that the Warriors are on right now. And this is going to be our Western Conference Finals preview edition of the podcast. And Steiny, we got to start with the fact that this is now officially a surprise Western Conference Finals based on the Mavericks going into Phoenix. I know we were talking about it a little bit last week, and I mentioned to you a couple of different times, the Suns felt like throughout the entire series, they were begging to get beat, and then they got beat by the Dallas Mavericks, who put on an incredible Game 7 display. Let's just get into the Mavs and the Suns and how that thing ended up, because it directly relates to what the Warriors now will face here moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people spent the last, 10 days saying, the Warriors, and when they get by, if they can get by Memphis, they'll play Phoenix probably. They'll probably play Phoenix. Well, they're not playing Phoenix. And, I think we'll talk a lot about whether or not Dallas is in the end going to be a tougher matchup than Phoenix, but I still think the bottom line is, first and foremost, the Warriors got to be happy about this. To me, the biggest thing is now they have home court advantage, which they wouldn't have had against Phoenix. And that's the biggest thing that I think works in their favor, is the fact that the first two games are going to be at Chase. And realistically, we didn't think that was going to be the case. So it's kind of a bonus for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, and it's just a little bit more margin for error, I think, as the Warriors are looking for areas where they can have a little bit of margin for error. I think we can debate, as you mentioned, the difficulty in opponent. Look, the Mavs still have Luka Doncic. I know the Suns had just gone to the finals a year ago with their group. And now, obviously, they're going to have to be accountable for the way that they played last night and the ramifications of that moving forward. But I think, first and foremost, with the Warriors down a few rotation players right now, being able to begin this series against the Mavs at home and rested as well, which has been a key for the Warriors in this playoff run. When they've been more rested, they've played a lot better. So you couple those two things together as we start to get into maybe some of the more specific angles of what a Warriors-Mavs series looks like. Just that initial, you can come out and sort of ride the high of being at home in game one to a victory, and then all of a sudden you got a shot to go up 2-0. And if we're looking at a 2-0 Warriors going into the weekend, all of a sudden all the pressure's on Dallas to make sure they can match that when they go back to Dallas now for next Sunday and Tuesday. And I think that just gives the Warriors another angle to apply pressure, even if they are, in their own way, coming off an incredible series win the way they had to close it against the Grizzlies. But I think the Warriors are probably a little bit vulnerable going into this series in their own way. But this gives them the best possible chance to, I think, be able to overcome some of their own vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I think the rest is going to be a factor. One game, that's it. One game, game one. But I'm not even sure it's going to be a big factor in game one either, because the Mavericks are a young team. Their best player's 23 years old. They're going to get 2 days off themselves. So I actually think that the schedule and the way the games go, which is every other day for all seven games, I think that's something that's going to work in Dallas's favor. Because I'm just thinking, you know, and I'll just throw this out at you. Let's say this series goes at least six games. Let's just say six to start. Otto Porter going to play all six games?
It's tough. I mean, at this point, I'd say no. I would say
no also. And so, you know, on the one hand, it feels like the Warriors, you know what, they're getting close here. On the other hand, I do feel like they're only halfway. And they've already gotten, you know, they've already taken some lumps. Well,
we know Iguodala and Gary Payton II aren't going to play all six. We know that already.
That's true. And so, you know, I just look at this series as I've looked at a lot of them. You know, the Warriors cannot afford to have anybody get banged up in this series, or then they are going to be at a disadvantage. No doubt about it. And the other thing, JD, is, and I don't know how much stock you put into this or that, but I almost, and you got to be careful how you say this, because I'm not saying the Warriors haven't deserved anything. They deserve exactly where they are. They have not played as well as Dallas has played. They have not played as well as Miami. They have not played as well as Boston in terms of kind of their own potential. And I think this is the series where we're going to realize that they're going to have to play better to win this series. They're not going to be able to shoot like they've shot and win, I don't think, because, you know, it feels like Dallas right now knows how they have to play to be at their best. And like everybody's buying in. And while I think the Phoenix Suns might have more talent than Dallas, there's something about the way Dallas is playing and believing in themselves where now I do think it's easy to say now, but I do think Dallas is going to be a better series than Phoenix would have been. Clearly, Phoenix was holding something together that we didn't realize that they were just holding together.
No, I think that's a great point. And I think you look at the Mavs, and really what it comes down to is they're a significantly improved defensive team, especially in the second half of the season, especially even in the final third of the season after they made the trade with Washington and got rid of Kristaps Porzingis, and they brought some other guys back. And, you know, Brunson now is in the starting lineup with Luka Doncic, and Finney Smith's a good two-way player that can knock down some threes. Dinwiddie was a major factor in the game last night, and we've seen him hurt the Warriors at times in the past. But I think, to me, what it boils down to as you start to look at it, it's Doncic doing what he does, which is having the basketball in his hands and being involved in everything, including shot making, playmaking, all of that. And then it's everybody else who has to be able to, I mean, let's just put the rat on the table, Steiny. When the Mavs win, the other guys on their team make 3-point shots. And when the Mavs don't win, the other guys on their team typically don't make 3-point shots. And that was the case in Phoenix. Their defense, as I mentioned, is improved, but a lot of this is going to come down to, I think, how many games can the Warriors take away the other Mavs shooters enough, or just have them have bad games because they're 50-50 kind of players enough to where the Warriors can win 4 out of 7 in this series.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of the offensive game. I also think if you have to be so the Phoenix, I'm sorry. So Dallas, you know, they start this postseason without Doncic. They get behind against Utah. They come back and win. They won 4 out of 5 against the Suns because they were down 2-0 in this series or in the past series. So I think Dallas deserves to be here. And they've got a player who is a real, real problem. And to me, he's a bigger problem than Jokic because he starts out with the ball all the time. And who's going to guard Doncic? think it's a great question.
I'm going to throw Wiggins at you right off the top. I think Wiggins is the initial guy that the Warriors will throw on him.
Yeah, and that's fine, but I don't see anybody on the Warriors who's really a good match. And maybe there's no good matchups against Doncic, but I don't necessarily think Wiggins is a great matchup against Doncic either. In fact, if you look at some of the regular season games against the Warriors, they haven't done anything to change what the Mavericks want to do. I mean, Doncic is dribbling around, kind of backing people into 14, 15 feet. They didn't really come to double a lot. When they did, it's an easy pass for him to make. Warriors, this might be the player that actually is the hardest player for them to match up with in the rest of the playoffs. I'd normally say Giannis, obviously, but they're eliminated. There's just something about Doncic that makes him a real problem for the Warriors. And it's his size. It's how deliberate he can be without making him go too fast. I don't know that Draymond can guard him in long stretches. So I think we're going to see a ton of different guys on him.
I think the size, it's the size and the skill, but I think in particular the size. You go back to, and I don't think there's too much that we can take away from the four matchups as far as the head-to-head matchups go. The Warriors did lose 3 out of 4 to the Mavs. The one game that does stand out to me, though, is the game from back in early March, where the Warriors were a little shorthanded. They went into Dallas. They actually played a pretty good game, and it was tied with about 5-6 minutes to go. And if you remember, Steiny, there were basically 10 possessions that decided the game. And the Mavs took the ball out of Curry's hands repeatedly and were going to make somebody else beat them. And Moses Moody, of all people, was actually in the game and had a nice fourth quarter in that game, made a bunch of shots, a couple of plays. But that led to the quote from Steph Curry, and I'm paraphrasing, where he said, hey, maybe we need to defend Luka the way that they defended me down the stretch in this game, more of the trapping and trying to take the ball out of his hands. The Warriors did it a little bit in that game, but the one thing that stood out to me was when the Warriors tried to take the ball out of Luka's hands, the Mavs would just get it right back to Luka.
Right.
So it just like it was, and you said it, you know, he could see the pass coming, and then they would just you know, be dribble handoff to whoever he would give it to and just give it right back to him, and they would just start over. The Mavs have been really good at just being diligent and patient in kind of finding the matchup that they want and not panicking when the ball is taken out of Luka's hands.
And you know what? It's hard to take the ball out of Luka's hands because he can go get the ball, as they say, JD, on three levels. You know, he can go get it out at the top. He can get it in the mid post. He can get it in the low post. He's going to have a size advantage on virtually everybody who's defending him. So it's, you know, that's one of the guys where it's just not as easy to take the ball out of Luka's hands as it is Steph Curry. People might not like to hear that, but that's where being 6'7" is an advantage over being 6'3". And you're right. The when I think about a team taking the ball out of Curry's hands, they take the ball out of Curry's hands, and then he starts to do his thing where he moves without the ball and will try to get it back, 10 seconds later in the shot clock. Dallas does it differently. He gives it up, and then he goes and gets it right away,
right,
and sees if that has changed the dynamic at all of the double team. And then, of course, with the Warriors, sometimes the ball doesn't find Curry again a second time on the possession. And then that's what the defense, that's what their objective was. So, you know, I think this is going to be one where you're just going to have to try to confuse Doncic, you know, maybe have a game where you're doubling him when he doesn't think he's doubling. But I do think it's going to be a series where, you know, they're going to have 5 different ways to go about it. Okay, we're going to come on the first dribble, 20% of the time. We're going to not come at all. We're going to come right away. We're going to come halfway in between. You know, that it's the only way you're really going to slow him down. And really, yeah, all you want to do is turn him into a volume guy. Like,
what's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
You do with all the superstars.
That's exactly right. I think that there is a give and take between wanting him to shoot the three ball and then obviously hoping he's not making it at a high enough percentage to where it allows him to do other things. I think for all of the different matchups we can get into, a lot of this thing, and it is an oversimplification, is going to come down to, you know, are the Warriors going to have the game where they make 18 or 20 threes in an individual game? Is Luka going to shoot the three efficiently, or is it going to be he's going to average his 35, 12, and 12, but it's going to be at a low percentage and with the other Mavs players not knocking down enough shots to where the Warriors maybe can win a game or two in this series where they themselves don't hit an extremely high percentage or a high volume of three-pointers. As far as Luka goes, how much Draymond – do you think? And could we see a little Jonathan Kuminga on Luka Doncic? I know.
We're going to start that again?
Well, the only reason I say it is because they did do it in the regular season. And they did allow Kuminga, and maybe some of that's just personnel, to guard him a little bit in the regular season. I mean, to me, Luka could get whatever he wants or draw a foul more often than not against Kuminga. But here's the reality, Steiny, and I'll give you another reason why I bring up his name. The Warriors are, I mean, they basically have six players right now that they trust in their rotation because of some of the guys are out. And I know Porter looks like maybe he's back for game one. We'll see how long he can go. But I bring it up because, and you could say, well, JD, it's the right six players, right? It's the starters with Looney and Poole. I mean, that's the six that you would want to have healthy, but they really only have six. So they're going to have to get minutes from two or three other players, even if they are two or three other players that maybe wouldn't be getting minutes under other circumstances.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. You know, I think asking, you know, Kuminga to, you know, it's one thing actually to think Kuminga could guard Morant. Doncic is a different problem, though. I just think Doncic is craftier. You know, Doncic is a kind of player who's nasty enough where he'll be offended that you're trying to even put a 19-year-old rookie on him. Let me just ask you this, and I guess it's easy to say now, but you think do you think Dallas does have a better chance to beat the Warriors than Phoenix?
No, I don't. Okay, I think.
What happened to Phoenix?
That's a good question. I think they got really tight last night, and I don't know if they were playing with games or just, you know, in terms of, you know, having it get to that point. I think there were games where offensively, to me, something went away as the year went on. Whether they would get too stagnant in games too frequently. And that to me was problematic for them. And then I thought all of that led up to the point where they had to play a game seven, and they hadn't played a game seven, and they clearly were tight. Chris Paul was tight. Booker was tight. You know, Bridges was tight. Ayton was tight. And I think when Dallas got off to even the smallest of leads early, well, it's 10-3, oh, it's 15-6, or, you know, whatever it was. And a couple, I mean, you could just see it. Layup rims out, three-pointer in and out. They can't get the rebound. Like, and then all of a sudden, it's just, you could see with each miss, and then they're getting to the line, they're missing free throws. Like, with each miss, you could see the Suns get tighter.
Yeah.
And tighter and tighter, to the point where Dallas just kept building the lead, and it was over. I actually thought, and I hate using this term, and you know I hate using this term, I actually thought the Suns quit late in the first half. I thought it got to a point where I thought they were almost like, ah, bleep it. And they just started really casting off and taking quick shots down around 20 where it was still manageable. And they let it get to 30. And then it was like, all right, well, you're done. Now you really are. Like, maybe you weren't done if it was 20, but when it got to 30, you're done. And so I mean, all systems fail. And I know you'd spent, I'm not totally coming down your road, but you talked a lot about, hey, Phoenix has been through some stuff and they got a little bit of pedigree coming into, you know, going through things this year, maybe even more than the Warriors. I think they're done. Like, I think they are done. Like, they're not winning a thing with this group now. I think that, like, what just happened there, like, Ayton's going to be gone. Paul's going to be another year older. And anything you thought they built up, to me, is, it's over. Like, they're probably going to go back to being kind of a 3, 4, 5, 6 kind of a team. And they're never going to sniff being as close as they were last year to a title.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, you might be right. You know, I'm looking at Dallas, and I noticed that a couple times, at least in game six, you know, they played Kleba and Bertans were on the floor at the same time. And I kept looking at that thinking, well, you can't do that against the Warriors, I don't think. But the guy to me that's kind of interesting is Powell, because I actually think that he's like, I think he can hurt the Warriors with his athleticism. And I know he's probably not as good of a all-around player as, let's say, a guy like Aaron Gordon. But in a way, I'd rather have a Powell because he stays within himself. To me, Powell's an interesting player. He's bigger than Looney, at least taller, and he's got more athleticism. I think he's going to be a player the Warriors are going to have to deal with, believe it or not.
No, I think he's a playable going into this series. If
I do
you
too.
Look at it.
And I think he's somebody who has become playable against the Warriors over the last 2 or 3 years. In other words, he wasn't playable against the Warriors, let's say, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. Now I think he can play against the Warriors.
You look at the other side of things, the Mavs did have the ability to force Steph Curry into some bad shooting games against them in the regular season. The way that they've defended Curry has been in a way, a little, it's a little Memphis light. I mean, they do have some length. They do have some athleticism. Jason Kidd has been a big proponent of physicality. I think that's been probably the biggest difference between the Mavs the last couple of years with Rick Carlisle and the Mavs this year. I think they're a lot more, they're edgier. They're more physical. You know, I think the Carlisle teams were a little soft the last few years. So I think Kidd's done a nice job of, you're going to see the Mavs try to kind of ragdoll the Warriors and be real physical with them, I think, the way the Grizzlies were in their own way.
I think so. And that's the one thing that kind of, if I were a Warrior fan, would worry me a little bit. If you've watched the Warriors in the postseason, you know, the way the Grizzlies have defended them and the success they had against the with them on the 3-point line, if you're a team like Dallas, you now know that that can be done. If you're a team like Boston, you know that can be done. I mean, it's going to be tough for the Warriors to shoot the three like they've shot the three in past years. And we've seen that in the first two rounds. And it really came into the picture against Memphis. And if the Warriors, I mean, if they continue to shoot like they did against Memphis, I don't think they're going to win the series. I really don't, because the one thing about Dallas is, you know, Memphis could go on dry spells. Dallas has Doncic. I mean, he's the player who can get to the line, stop the clock, get him a layup off a nice pass if they're doubling the wrong, if they're doubling him and not helping out on the right guy. So I think the Warriors are, I don't expect the Warriors to go back to shooting 40% from 3-point range in the postseason as a team. I think it's going to be really hard for them to do that.
Yeah. And I think so much of it is going to be, can you win a series where maybe you do it in 2 games out of 6 or 2 games out of 7? And I think we saw that in the Grizzly series. They shot it pretty well in the first game. They shot it really well in the 6th game. And then there were 2 games in the middle of the series where they did have to just grind it out, whether it was, game 4 is the one that comes to mind. I know they were in other games in that series. Game 2 was one. Game 3 was a blowout game. So it's just, you get the 2 where you shoot it well, the 1 where it's just kind of a blowout in your favor, the 1 where maybe it's a blowout in the opposition's favor over the course of a series, and then you win the ones that you gotta grit and grind. And I think that's where game 4 really was the one that ultimately was the difference in the series, because that was the game where the Warriors made 9 3-pointers, but they were still able to win. And I think they're going to have to win a game or two in this series doing it when they didn't shoot it well. Like that to me is the testament to the Warriors beating the Grizzlies. It's they were able to win a couple of games where they didn't shoot the 3-ball well and hang in really a third when they didn't shoot the 3-ball well. Can they do that? Because it's not so much to me about the overall. The overall numbers may not look good, but it's how do the overall numbers look in the context of a series?
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to say, I looked at some of the Vegas stuff. I'm surprised the Warriors are as big a favorites as they are in this series. I can see him getting beat in this series, to tell you the truth. Sure. I really can. And you know what? It's like we don't have to. I mean, the bottom line is Dallas has the best player. It's just that is the way that one's gone. You know what I mean?
They do. But is he going to play like the best player when we talk about it 2 weeks from now? Like,
He's been the best player against the Warriors this year. Like, he's been the best player on the floor consistently against the Warriors. And he's a kind of player that I don't really see shriveling, if you know what I mean. I think he's a smart enough player that he knows he's got advantages at certain places. And I think they think they can defend the Warriors. And I think Jason Kidd, he's obviously doing something right. And anytime a coach has a team playing defense that wasn't playing defense prior, I always think that's a good sign. But But I think Dallas has a shot at this series. Absolutely.
That's interesting. I think if the Warriors stay healthy, relatively speaking, I still see them being able to eke this series out and just be able to do enough, or the Mavs offensively to not be able to do enough. I also wonder a little bit about just the psyche of both of these teams. Like, do the Mavs come into this thinking, hey, we got a chance to get to a finals, or is it a little bit, hey, our season's already a rousing success because you just knocked out Phoenix and you're a four seed playing in a Western Conference finals, almost as if this is the year that tells everybody, hey, Luka's time is coming, and maybe the Mavs time is coming, but it's not quite this year. Like, maybe it's next year to where they're able to get over the top. A couple other just matchup kind of things I wanted to get into. I think Dinwiddie and Poole, not them going up against each other specifically, but just the impact that both of those players can have as sixth men that can really fill it up and put the ball in the basket as extra scorers. What do you see as far as that having the potential to be, again, not a head-to-head matchup, but those two players in their roles having an impact on this series? Because Jordan Poole hasn't played as well as each of the first two series have gone on, and Dinwiddie became a big factor in the games where Dallas was able to win.
I mean, I think if I had a bet, I think Dinwiddie's going to have a better series than Poole, just because it feels like, you know, Poole's starting to, I don't want to say wear down, but I mean, Poole's been guarded better and better and better as the playoffs have gone on. And I think also teams have figured out he more than anybody on that roster, even more than Steph, is susceptible to physical play. And I mean, that's where it's like, I look at Jason Kidd and say, there's no way he will not allow Dallas to play physically. Like, he's gonna preach that's the only way we have a chance to beat him. And it feels like they've already bought into that, because defensively they've been a tremendous team this year. And it seems like they're playing their best, their best defense right now.
No, they really are. They really are. And I think they are going to be a more formidable opponent than it would have looked like they could have been, let's say, a month ago when the playoffs started, because they are playing much better basketball, I think, both offensively and defensively. Steve Kerr back. I know you weren't you didn't think that really mattered a lot. I thought the Warriors were able to figure it out without him to close out the Grizzlies. But I think having Kerr back is definitely a benefit. It sounds like Otto Porter's back in this series for game one, but how long can he play? How much of a concern do you have just over the Warriors having enough players to kind of get them through? They played their main guys 40 plus, but I don't think they, in game six against the Grizzlies, but they don't think they can do 40 plus throughout an entire series, especially if the games are going to be coming every other day. They just won't do it.
I think that's the biggest issue for the Warriors, is the idea of playing seven games if they have to in 13 days. That will not work to their advantage against a team like Dallas that's younger. And, you know, there's two issues. One is just the wear and tear and the fatigue of playing that many games that short a period of time. And then secondly, it's every game you take a shot at getting somebody hurt again. That's what I'm worried about if I'm a Golden State Warrior fan. You can't play two or three games, for example, without a Draymond Green, or you're asking for trouble. And there's another player here too, Kevon Looney. He's played every game this year, JD, but he hadn't played 35 minutes before. So I'm interested to see how Looney's going to play over a long series where maybe he's getting consistently. You know, how much can you play him game in and game out and not worry about fatigue or you know, getting banged up? Those are the big things that I think of when I think of Porter particularly and Looney to a lesser degree.
All right, Steiny, good stuff. But, man, we'll be doing this throughout the conference finals, off to a good start and looking at the matchups. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Now, we're going to have a shot to work together this week, as I'm going to be in for Guru in the back end of the week. So it should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the show with Goo these next couple of days, and we'll talk on Wednesday.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.